I think we'll just get cracking. Matthias is still trying to join, so we'll try to get him in. But everyone, thanks for everyone who is here or tuning in on the recording at a later date. So welcome to Patrizia Blockchain Community Call. We're excited to have you all here, whether you're a long-term supporter and there's a lot of familiar faces here, or you're just discovering what we're building. It's a good chance to connect directly with the foundation team and hear what's happening across the ecosystem, where things currently stand, and where we're heading to. Today, we have Peter Franson, CEO and founder. We may have Matthias Glimborg, head of product. He will try to join, and Bruce Ahn, chief of staff, and myself, Youssef Fanous, chief commercial officer. I'll be your host, and we'll cover a mix of updates from product and protocol development through to ecosystem partners, branding, and of course, questions from you all. So we've saved enough space from that. We've pre-submitted questions and any that you guys want to jump up on and give live. Just want to kick things off with a few shout-outs across the community and builder ecosystem. Fennec, Viral, Joyzy, Frankie, thanks a lot for your continued efforts on being involved in the community and educating on your own channels across X and other platforms. Manny, I can see you here as well. Thanks a lot. You've been doing some hard work in the background, making introductions and supporting on some of the BD side. And of course, to all of our ambassadors in the community, as well as a few other familiar faces we've got here. So Cryptid, Pitbull, Matt from Crypto Factor, who also supports a lot in the background. That's in addition to the builders here. So Hassi, I can see you from Crowdsnap. We've got Scepter on the spaces too, IDOS, and naturally Crypto Factor, who have all recently got some fairly significant updates and launched some of their projects and products on the PBC ecosystem. We will jump into things, and I do want to leave a lot of space for questions at the end. Just for those who aren't aware, or to reiterate to those who are, our vision remains clear around bringing digital trust to the world through our privacy by design, open source infrastructure that allows for compliant privacy and data sovereignty while supporting those that want to contribute to what this new world looks like, regardless of lens. That's technical support for builders, advocacy routes for privacy enthusiasts, and anyone in between. We are uniquely positioned in the space with our privacy-enhancing tech that has resulted in what we all know, if you have been here for a while, if MPC and ZK being embedded natively at protocol level, not just added as a feature. And I mention that for good reason, as we're seeing a lot of the bigger names now recognizing the value of privacy, whether that's Ethereum with the Kohaku privacy framework, whether that's Midnight through IOHK. And there's tons of movement outside of just that, right? So from regulators and enterprise who are embedded in privacy by design into their operations and what they do, whether that's GDPR, PSD3, EIDAS2, when it comes to digital identity, Japan's trusted web, or any other kind of legislation and regulation around this. Our efforts remain primarily focused on RWA, digital identity, with some interesting UK use cases in between that that rely on our privacy tech, from supply chain and humanitarian aid to other areas. Without further ado, we'll go through some quick fire updates from the team before opening up questions from the community with a mix of pre-submitted questions and those we'll take live. Bruce, hopefully no technical issues. Over to you for some updates around NodeOps and Network Health.
Yeah, thanks, Youssef, and thanks everybody for joining. It's always good to speak with you guys. I think, you know, at a high level, the node operation and network health is doing really well. We've had what I will kind of say a record status of the network producing blocks in a very, very quick manner. The mainnet has been live and has been stable. We've been monitoring the node stats for the last month with an average response time, block production time of about 200 to 300 milliseconds. The validator activity is strong. and our stress test is continuing to run to help provide additional data that we'll hopefully be able to provide back to you guys sometime this year or next year. I also want to report back with some additional increase in our BOIOC rewards. First of all, the stress test has been contributing to around 10 to probably a little bit more than 10K total for the node operators in USD. But also, and we'll get to the ecosystem a little bit later, but Crypto Factor, and his system, which we'll review a little bit in a bit, has also generated quite a number of BYOC rewards. So overall, I think we're moving in the right direction. The network is healthy. We're seeing increase in BYOC. And we are also going to be rolling out a new KYB onboarding process, which from a process perspective, it's been approved and it simplifies validator entry with compliance baked in.
Maybe a shout out to SEPTA as well on some of the delegation aspects. I don't know if you want to touch on that or we can leave that to the guys themselves a bit later in the call.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think some of the small items from the node operator side is improvements to delegations through a lot of the updates that SEPTA has been requesting. Through that effort, the node operation has been simplified. We ourselves have been rolling out features that makes it easier for delegated stakers to both stake but also unstake as well.
Perfect. Just wanted a quick fire update. So thanks a lot, Bruce. We should have Matthias here to go through some product and protocol development. I don't know if Peter, if you want to take that in his absence, or we'd just jump over to some of the other ecosystem partner updates.
I think I can run it over. I think it's a shame that Matthias is not able to join. I've joined through my browser because this is so fallible. So I do appreciate the conundrum that he's in. A lot of these things has been shared already in various channels, but we kind of want to sort of go through some of these things anyhow. The execution is...
We appear to have lost Peter.
No.
He's back.
Can you hear me?
He's back.
We appear to have Peter back shouting desperately. Matthias should be able to join as well. He's just approved now. Well, requested, so being approved. Matthias, are you here? And maybe save Peter from his despair. You are.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello. We can indeed.
Very good.
I really don't know what's happening with X, but Peter was just covering your space, filling your boots on protocol and product development. So maybe now's a good time to jump in and save him from the dreaded X.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Peter, and thanks everyone for joining in. So quick update on the product and the protocol development. So as a lot of you guys know, the focus this year and the next half year, the beginning of 2026, has been focused around adoption and the need from adoption. We initiated a group amongst the community. It's led by Cryptid, Matt from CryptoFX, and Pitbull to collect requirements from the node operators and the greater community. We also spoke to a bunch of the builders to collect requirements from their side to make sure we have a roadmap that reflects adoption. And we delivered strongly on those inputs. For example, we did a bunch in the browser, like automated APR calculation, easier delegate stake management and stake management with it. So builders, they can spin up a reader node quite fast by enabling a snapshot that gets updated every week. We also attached time and weeks and year to reward transactions. So that's pretty good. And we worked very good with these groups about gathering the requirements, refining them, and also making sure it had a value when it was actually delivered. We also work with our builders, for example, Zepta, which we're going to speak a bit more about today. They, by helping them to build the initial contract and also getting some new features in so they could update it before the launch. This year, one of the big items is the execution engine. This is a product where we enable more flexible MPC. So projects, they can take this execution engine, they can develop and provision their own MPC environments, which use Partitia blockchain to store the source code and update it. It uses it for transparency of transactions and governance around the system. We have Eidos who built a solution with that. We're also going to speak a bit more about that later. And overall, we also improved the performance. We looked into stability. For example, we had some of our service providers, including RPC API, which needed to be fine-tuned. So all these core components, including wallets, worked. And going ahead, we're going to enable the node onboarding again with KYB solution, going to do stress testing and deliver real.
Perfect. Thank you. We have a lot of the projects we were going to speak about live here now. So I can see Julian there from IDOS, Matt, Septa, and Hassi. So if you guys can just raise your hand and jump up, I think now's a good time to not steal your thunder and let you give a couple of minutes on updates around what you've built, what you've launched, and where we are in this partnership. And of course, the value back to token holders and the wider ecosystem. So we'll give you a moment just to put your hands up and bring you up here. In the meantime, Peter, maybe you can hear me, maybe you can't. I think from what I'm seeing, you can't. So Matt, we'll bring you up now. Hopefully you don't have the same technical issues. And please, everyone else here that's been building with us, just request to speak and we'll bring you guys up too. Whilst we're waiting, Matthias and Bruce, I know you were going to cover some of this ground. It might be worthwhile you jumping in and giving a bit of an update whilst we get people up to speak.
Yeah, sounds good. So I see Septa, they joined in. I would like to talk a bit about that. Septa team, feel free to jump in yourself, right? So this week, Septa, they launched the liquid staking on Partitia blockchain. And it's a soft launch where it was communicated out to the node operators and the community. And this is really exciting because this is one of the core components of DeFi, for example. So with this liquid staking, right, you can take your MPC tokens and you can stake it into this system to get a representation, a liquid token for your delegate stake, which you can freely move around. And as we see this DeFi sort of coming up, we have the DEX, we also have lending coming, you can deploy your SMPC, your representation for MPC delegate stake into this. And then under the hood, Septa, they manage your delegate stake, so they make sure it's with the right node operators, the rewards are optimized. And over time, you will see one SMPC becoming more worth an MPC as the rewards they accumulate under. So it's really good in the way that you don't need manually to sort of deal with the delegate stake management. And a very important thing here is that you have guaranteed 14 days unstaking period when you want to go back from SMPC to MPC. So that's a little different than if you go and, for example, yourself to do the delegate stake. Yeah, and again, you can use it in DeFi. It's liquid. You may be familiar with something like Lido or Lido on Ethereum. It's the same concept. There's also going to be a market on the DEX soon, so on CK Cross, where users, they can go in and swap themselves in and out of MPC and SMPC in a DEX pool. So you have really fast entry or exit into liquid staking. So this is really good for the ecosystem. It's a core component on DeFi. It will bump up on a lot of metrics that includes TVL, for example, and also the associated on-chain transactions. So yeah, thanks. I'm just going to stop here in case anyone else want to jump in.
Well, we have the Scepter account here. So I don't know if that's Lex or Joel or someone else from the team. Oh, no, they're just listeners. This seems to be the issue. But whilst they potentially request to jump up, Matt, you're a speaker now. So well done on making it through the technical test. Over to you.
Can you hear me all right?
We can indeed. Go for it, please. Welcome. I jumped off
the browser onto phone and kept my fingers.
Well, crossed. I just realized. Yeah, I just remembered actually that Cloudflare or some issue with X was down. So I think there's been issues with X over the last couple of days, regardless. Sorry if I've interjected there. It might be a slight delay too. But over to you, please, Matt. Thanks for joining.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much. I mean, first of all, you know, again, thanks for joining this together. It's always extremely valuable to hear from the team more widely in terms of ecosystem updates. A really good opportunity for us all to understand what each other are doing in a sort of a more broader way in the PBC system. I'll give you perhaps a quick overview of who Crypto Factor are, what we provide in terms of digital infrastructure to create integrated token ecosystems, where we came from in terms of DeFi chain, where we first launched in the beginning of January 24, where we built the MVP up to provide this digital infrastructure for basically to move people who are participating in DeFi into the operator arena, where they can sort of run their own token ecosystems based on their own utility ideas, or even we have clients, meme clients even, you know, it's basically to cater for all of these. I've just seen Tax, the Tax intern is here who runs the Tax token with us on DeFi Chain and Polygon. Yeah, we are grounded in PBC. We run full Oracle's OK node since 2022. You know, we sort of live and breathe PBC, but we kind of needed to wait until we'd built our sort of flagship infrastructure, which is called the Interchain, that runs on PBC in terms of providing cross-chain consensus level bridging. It will be used in future for a whole myriad of other things, but the core consensus layer took us a year to build, but it now allows us to move around. We're Polygon Labs grantees. The CFR token is on Polygon now, and we are just in the midst of integrating with ZK Cross in terms of getting the CFR token and our gear rolled out on PBC at the moment. So in terms of our offering, you should see in the next, you know, few weeks or months maybe, you know, the opportunity to come to us, have a chat about what it is you would like to be doing. And we really do make it easy and cost effective. There's no real hardcore upfront costs for us. You know, we love what we do. We love building. So a lot of our fees are integrated into the sort of token staking contracts, mining, treasuries, all automated distribution. So our revenue comes from that. We're not free, but you know, we're trying to take away some of those barriers that we often see in terms of technical resource. You know, having access to developers and expensive based, you know, stuff, and really just trying to inject the type of fun and freedom in a safe and secure way. To be able to realize utility ideas. Now, apart from the platform as well, we have a C asset range, which is our own minted tokens, which add liquidity around all of our gear. And that will include, I know there's Scepter here, but that will include CMPC as well, which will be a slightly different type of design. We've done the same thing on DeFi Chain with CDFI, and that's worked quite well. And we'll be looking to introduce that sort of thing. And then looking to the future, you know, we fully appreciate the proper use cases of Partitia blockchain, of course, with our sort of history and heritage. So we will be focusing down on more MPC-based use cases, particularly decentralized key management, that sort of thing interests us. So whilst at the moment you'll see us arrive, you'll see the CFR token, and you'll see basically what we can offer other people to build with us. I think it's also really important to not overlook the fact that whilst we provide this, we really do want to dig a lot more deeply into the sort of fascinating USP of Partitia. That's what drew me and my co-founder to Partitia in the first place. So sorry to rush through it, but I kind of just want to condense it really a little bit into a welcome and who we are.
Thanks, Matt, and thanks for all of the resource and effort and time you put into building here. It's appreciated from our side. I know it's not always been the easiest, as is the case when building something unique and new and novel as we all are. Effort well spent, I think we can agree on both sides. Key thing here, just around tangible benefits, particularly to all token holders and node ops, is what Bruce mentioned earlier. You've already started showing some value back in terms of BYOC rewards being distributed, and that is a sign of things to come.
Yeah, I mean the interchain itself is an independent private application blockchain built fully on PBC in terms of using ZK node functions for the consensus layer, but also decentralized storage. And every block that's minted, it's not real time. You know, we're talking TPS really. We're talking it's on demand. I think $5,000 so far. We were in beta for a good 2 months and launched for real in September. So we have a plan to bring, I would quite easily say $50,000, but probably stretching to six figures when we really ramp up how the interchain is going to be used across all of our clients. Let's not forget, this is real utility. These are people bridging assets from two different chains. You know, we have people bridging from DeFi chain to Polygon, say, and the actual work being conducted is PBC nodes, and they are paid. And so it's sort of a real use case, real sort of world utility, that PBC is supporting our chain. So it's kind of really, really good to see.
Thanks, Matt. And I think it also feeds into the whole piece around interoperability that's always been front and center for Partitia since inception. So we'll maybe touch on, from Bruce and Matthias at the end, how this ties into the rest of the product and protocol development from the updates. But we'll move over to Hasi for now, because I want to leave room for questions at the end. Matt, thanks again for all of your efforts in building and the update now on your time now. So
Thank you.
Hasi, over to you.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Yusuf. I hope everyone can hear me correctly.
We can indeed.
Hi, everyone. I'm Hasi from CrowdSnap team, and we recently released Proof of Humanity first iteration. If someone don't understand like what Proof of Humanity and what is a digital identity is, basically through our product, we can face scan a person, and then we collect the biometrics, and then we privatize that using MPC and provide the digital identity in return. So that digital identity can later verify using a quick face scan to verify that it's a human and it's someone who created the identity in previously. So that particular use case, we are seeing it's very easy to understand and easy to explain, particularly for the business customers. And we are getting a very decent demand. Product is technically like production ready and currently getting feedback from the beta users. Plus, we are building some solutions around that into different industries, different use cases to find out how the protocol can best fit into their businesses. So things are pretty smooth at the moment, I'm hoping that pretty soon, we can get on board one of our clients, and at least for the like POC to test that at the practical level. So that is update. And if anybody curious to know more about it, you can visit poh.crowdsnap.ai. That is our website. You can also try creating identity and also verify and see the full round trip of the product, how it works. And please feel free to give us a feedback. And we are also always flexible to for the client feedbacks in terms of the UX, UI. And if you find that it any sort of a different business use cases that we oversee, so please feel free to share them with me. Thanks.
Perfect. Thanks. Thanks, Hasi. I believe, Matthias, you wanted to jump in to discuss iOS in a bit of detail. And Julian, I can see you here, so please feel free to jump up and get involved yourself as well if you'd like.
Yeah. Thanks, Joseph. Yeah, I think Julian he texted me that you will be listening in today. So
sure.
Let me start off here. Yeah, thanks for joining, Julian. So IDOS is one of our partners who is building with our execution engine, and IDOS is an identity project. They're building portable identity for the stablecoin economy. They're building what's broadly known as self-sovereign identity, right, where you have credentials that's reusable and you can use them as presentations to be onboarded, for example, into the various infrastructures that leverage stable coins and neobanking and so on. So when you create these keys, you want to have one wallet. And when you create these keys, you will end up with multiple keys. So together with us, they build an execution engine solution where you can back up and retrieve these identity keys. And the execution engine by Patricia Blockchain is the default for IDOS encryption key creation in the IDOS app. So I would encourage everyone to try to go into the website, create the keys. You can even see it's written very nicely there with an attached article that it's powered by execution engine. This is also where the roadmap comes in, because we've been talking to the IDOS team and seeing how we can involve this product. So for example, we have on the roadmap to be able to create keys and produce signatures inside the execution engine, which is something we are talking with the IDOS team about how that could be in, for example, a version 2. It's a great project. I saw on UX, Julian, recently that you posted that, or it's late October, that over 75,000 unique humans have joined the IDOS app. So congrats on that. Looks like you have a great traction. We are super proud to be some part of the technology infrastructure here.
Perfect. I was gonna throw that massive congrats in at the end if you didn't. So thanks for running through that and the context around how it ties into what we've been building. Peter, I ask, can you hear me? Can you speak?
I can hear you, and I'm trying to speak. So please respond okay. If you can hear me.
We can hear you too. So before I head over to yourself, just a note that ZK Cross is fundamental in all of this as a DEX, and some of the speakers you've heard today will be integrating into ZK Cross as a DEX, with Crypto Factor and Scepter being two of those, with the Wrapped CFR token and SMPC respectively. Peter, over to you.
Yeah,
enterprise and use cases in particular. Thank you.
Yes, this actually ties back to some of the work that we've done that we've also explained and presented to the community in other channels as well, where we're trying to find new ways of positioning ourselves in the Web3 space and finding different mannerisms around that. Now that is good and well ongoing. I think, that's progressing well. It ties well back into some of the things that we're trying to do with also with enterprise clients. And I sort of want to give you, there are some very interesting enterprise clients, sort of classical Web2 clients, where the ability to speak about them is very limited. Now, you all were present or have followed the work that we've done with Japan, where we are now a preferred partner, or preferred partners, perhaps. We are I'm going to point back to what has been agreed upon in our marketing team that can be disclosed about the Trupan collaboration. Now, Trupan collaboration is for us pivotal in moving the things that we're doing from where we are originally into a more sound and scalable environment. What that means for the public chain and how that is tying back into the repositioning and the work that we're doing is somewhat harder to explain without crossing the boundaries of what has been agreed upon to tell. So we are looking into some interesting places where we some contracts that we were looking to sign to that will impact our ability to work with RWA, to impact the work that we're doing with DeFi and finance in general and all of those things. Those things, is, when they come into fruition, they are going to impact the Petit blockchain dramatically. They are not dropped. They are not lost. It is 90% of our work right now that we're trying to close these deals and trying to move them forward. They are being moved forward. I just can't give you any information about it. So it is, as I once said, this is about being, this is the first rule about Fight Club. If you want to be in the Fight Club, you can't talk about the Fight Club. So I can't give you any more details of that. So this was a long rant about nothing. So sorry about that. But also to sort of give you a glimpse into that we are actually working hard on converting this into tangible, concrete work that will impact the blockchain positively.
I'll play my role as Peter Whisperer on this occasion. So it's about respecting contractual and operational arrangements, NDAs, understanding the competitive side of and nature of what we're doing. I mean, Topan, for example, we can maybe speak a tiny bit more about, but we'll share more in the community and please ask questions, just conscious of time. But Topan has moved from POC to a longer term partnership and is using a lot of our core technology to digitalize what they're doing. And they're a publicly listed company, one of the oldest and largest ID companies in Japan, and have clients and partners globally. So that's the scale we're talking about. And that, for me, battle tests the quality of the infrastructure that we're building and also the necessity of it. As we move into a space where privacy by design, whether in regulatory terms or in enterprise or any other, discourse, even on a personal level, is becoming a hell of a lot more prominent. So there are some tangible things there. And when we were somewhat guarded around Topan before, it was for good reason. But as time has told, that's progressed rapidly and in the right direction. So hopefully that gives confidence around Fight Club. And you'll be entered into Fight Club or understand better around what we're doing as and when the time's right. So I want to move towards question time, but just quickly, a high-level overview around what we've been doing from a marketing standpoint. Peter's touched on this around brand and narrative refresh. So that's everything from visual identity, refining our mission, our messaging, our tone, producing, there's a content piece to all of this to ensure that the user journey is sharper, simplified, and is relevant for the different audiences across the ecosystem. One thing to bear in mind, which I know is obvious when you take a step back, but is there's a lot of different lenses to this. I mean, we're seeing some of this on the call now with the builders. They'll have a particular view and needs and requirements, as well as token holders or the wider community, whatever they want to use the token for, which we can go into detail around, but they have their own requirements and reasons for being in the ecosystem. Those that are just advocates of privacy. So there are just a few examples, and it's very easy to churn out content. The actual skill is to simplify this and ensure that the user journey makes sense. And especially with an ecosystem as complex as ours, we want to make sure this is as simple and easy to digest as possible. As part of this rebrand, which will be clearer within a few weeks, will be a website overhaul. So that's 30 plus pages with the new design, better navigation, improvements to allow for SEO, which improves awareness, the right signposting tools and anything else that we require for our community be embedded into this. We are building this in-house, just as an FYI. So that allows us more flexibility. And to going back to Peter's point around including the community, allowing for feedback loops and the correct feedback loop so we can act quickly to make adjustments within that. Again, that will be within the next few weeks if all goes to plan before that gets launched. And that's when I'll encourage a lot more feedback and we can go into more detail around what that looks like. Around the content piece, it's building out the foundational content, making clearer what our use cases are, having partner spotlights and bringing in some of the partners you're seeing on the call today, as well as the broader partner ecosystem into co-market and be involved in what we're doing so we can push this together. And community collaboration, to Peter's point, I had a shout out earlier to a lot of those that are building their own channels and their own content to support the Patizia mission and ecosystem. I also gave a shout out to Manny around BD efforts and opening up doors from his network as well. The beauty of this is it's all happening organically. We do have a current and existing ambassador program. I think it needs a bit of an overhaul. And what I endeavor to do and want to do going forward is to build out something scalable with different routes for those with different skill sets to contribute to the ecosystem and be rewarded effectively and recognized for their efforts, whether that's content, BD, governance, node ops, whatever else it may be, building out the infrastructure and support to be able to welcome people in a scalable way. So we're having some of those conversations behind the scenes for now, and hopefully that's something that we can roll out more broadly when the time's right. But I want this built by the community and with the community. And the beauty, like I said, is it's bottom up and done in an organic way, not top down. So feedback and inputs and everything else is always what I look for. And although sometimes it can be brutal, go for it. I'm open for that. I think that's what allows us to refine things and do what's best. So without further ado, I will allow the team to jump in if there are any other thoughts before we move over to questions. So there are some pre-submitted questions, which I'll go into first and then mix into those that are live on the call now. So any thoughts from the team before we move over to questions?
Well, I was actually thinking while Matthias was talking about the key signing. I'll give an example of the key signing as something that we kind of work on a daily basis. So we don't really think about how quite interesting and how cool and how useful it really is. So for folks that are not aware, you know, key signing with inside the MPC cluster is basically allowing for the private key to be generated with inside the MPC cluster itself and be shared in pieces to various different key holders. But none of the key holders actually hold a full key, and the private key itself has never been revealed to anybody. This creates just really, really interesting use cases where you really are able to bring that trustless, decentralized key management solution where the private key has never been disclosed to anybody fully, but the people are still able to sign for that transaction. And so I think these kinds of technologies are, number one, something that we kind of work on a daily basis, so we're not excited about it as other people may be when they first hear about it. But it also, I think, is the driver for a lot of these adoption that's been happening. So I was just thinking about that when I was hearing Matthias talk about that.
Thanks for the final thought. Well, almost final thought. I will now go into some of the pre-submitted questions and then please, anyone who wants to ask questions who's tuned in now, raise your hand. We'll get you up. Just want to manage time the right way. So I'll go to some of the pre-submitted questions first. I'll try and cover all or endeavor to, but some of these we won't get around to, and some of them will have been answered, but I'll read them out anyway. So one of those examples, what concrete enterprise or government integrations are in active development and which are expected to enter production first? I think Peter somewhat answered that with his Fight Club analogy.
Sure. But,
I don't know if you want to maybe build on what might come first and potentially conflate that with another question.
It links back. Yeah, sorry. I hope you can hear me. This is also always trial and error.
We can. I'm just going to say there's another component to this, which is another question.
Yeah.
How is Patizia positioning within the EU DI wallet and broader EU DID infrastructure? I think they go hand in hand quite nicely.
Indeed, they do. Indeed, they do. And that's also what I wanted to touch upon, is that what's going to come into production first? I actually think some of the things we've already done has already been shipped. We're trying to position ourselves in EU. So EU is both a very beautiful market, but also a bit complicated market. It's complicated because there are very strong regulation that enforces strict procurement rules, right? So a government in EU cannot easily create a tender. There has to be a proper tendering process. The tendering process has to happen in specific stages. People have been, companies have to be qualified. And we're trying to find partners to that collaborate with so that we can actually bid on those tenders. And we are actually have some different partners. Some of them has already been submitted. Some of them has already been completed. I can try to find out what can be what marketing material is available for that. But that we're definitely trying to position ourselves in that. But when we speak about that, we also implicitly saying it's a kind of complicated market. It's not ideal for us to be too much in. The market of being in procurement is not simple, because you have to adhere to a set of regulation and sets of rules and stuff like that. And we're not necessarily don't want to be a corporation that is really good at bidding on EU tenders. So we're also looking out in other countries. Japan is a different example. We also have some various activities elsewhere, where we are trying to sort of find places where what we can do is deemed valuable by the customers, by the governments. So I think the short answer is we're already there. We're already doing a lot of these things. So we are already have already shipped the first stuff. Whether or not it's the what's going to come into production first is a bit more complicated. It's a bit more to say, as I said, I'll try to find some material so that you guys actually can get an idea of some of the places that we've done. I did not prepare a long list of marketing materials because it is, as I said, complicated to actually disclose stuff like this. But IDAS is a very strong component in what we're doing. IDAS is sort of the bedrock of what we're building, and it is also being exported into the rest of the world. The EU legislation has that tendency.
I'm just building on some of what you've said. The EU is the largest trading bloc in the world. So you either want to do business in the EU or you are based in the EU, right? And if that's the case, you have to comply with those regulations and the bureaucracy that you've mentioned. Another thing to note is, I guess, building on what I said around the Trusted Web Initiative, you touched on Japan, and this, what we offer is very much supportive of what that Trusted Web Initiative is. And by dint of it coming from the very top at government level, enterprises will fall into place on that front too. So we're very much ahead of the curve and or on trend around what's happening at macro level across the world. And as Peter identified, we pivot when needed, right? So it's not just one shot at the EU, but when we see value in other jurisdictions and geographies, that's where we'll place ourselves. I actually, one last thing, we are contributing to the EIDAS to framework, which is all around digital identity. And there are some public things out there, Peter, so I'm not doing you a disservice here, and we'll share links around after this community call. So there's another couple of questions, and then we'll go over to Manny and Fennec, who I've seen have joined as speakers. Could you share progress on GODS, and will 10% of its fee go towards PBC? I'm not here to throw softballs, as you can tell. Peter or Matthias, maybe over to.
I'll be happy to take that one. There's no progress on GODS Network. Some of the things that we've been doing in about time working with these large enterprise customers and working with these large projects, these high scale projects that has potential of changing effectively the fabric of the world that we all know is more important for us. And that is what we're pursuing right now. So we haven't done anything about the GODS Network in its totality. So for right now, it's just in a holding pattern. That's where we are at the moment.
But development, as some kind of update, development has taken place, and it will be part of that core. I mean, they're part of the Patizia tech stack. I maybe worded this quite clumsily, but it will support what we're doing for Patizia.
Yeah, I mean, it is, to a large extent, just an extension of the infrastructure with some different ways of doing it and a higher degree of flexibility of what can be achieved and how we're doing things. It does not necessarily require to stake in trenches the amount that is being locked, so it is somewhat more fluid than what has been built into it. So that also means that the security of it is when you hear this, when you hear the word flexible security, you should always be wary, and then that's also the case here. So it is intended to do something different than what the Patizia blockchain is doing natively, but it is extending the infrastructure as we know it.
And I guess within that flexibility, from a non-technical standpoint, is it being outside of the foundation allows for certain activities, which gives us more flexibility in terms of adoption and partners and the rest. I will park there for now. Thanks, Peter, and move over to Fennec first. Self-proclaimed, but close to agreeing from my side, super Patizian. Fennec, go for it, please.
Yeah. Hi guys, I hope you are doing well. I just wanted to emphasize on Bruce what he was talking when he was talking about the private key, because I think it's very good use case, because we all have this fear of losing our private key or being hacked. If you leave it on your computer, it could be hacked. If you write it on a piece of paper, it could be lost or seen by someone, yeah, and take all your assets, for example. I think using multi-party computation and working with CrowdSnap, yeah, it's CrowdSnap, yeah, CrowdSnap, using like your biometric to access to get your key stored there. If you want your key, you just like scan your face and get your key back. I think it's a good way of storing a key, and it could resolve a big problem for the Web3 community, because we all know that we having a key on the paper is not a good thing, or writing it somewhere, because it can be accessible by anyone, yeah, or leaving it on any digital asset can be hacked and can be obtained by hackers. I think it could be a very good use case. That's what I want to talk about mainly.
Okay. Thanks for recognizing obviously what we're doing here, for one, and as I said at the beginning, being so actively involved in the community. Bruce or anyone else from the team, do you want to build on what Fennec mentioned there around the use case of that and the benefit back to our partners, our ecosystem, the wider world? Maybe Bruce, your name was mentioned, so I don't know if you want to jump in there or someone else from the team. And then Manny, we'll go over to you.
Yeah, certainly I think it's a great innovative feature that a lot of people will be looking to implement. But I'd like to get Peter's thought on this one from his perspective. I'm actually interested in hearing his thought as well.
No, but for me, anecdotally, I want to say that we are, one of our scientists keeps repeating the following phrase. But that just sounds like a key management problem, right? So all cryptographic problems can actually be reduced to, well, if you can just manage the key in a proper way, then you should be good. Right. And there's sort of a lot of people are working in the Web3 space under the illusion, yeah, but a lot of problems can be very complicated, and you can devise very complicated solutions. But when you look at it top down, what you end up seeing is, yeah, but if you just had a secure way of storing the key, then everything would be fixed. And what you're pointing to here, Fennec, is that a solid key management solution is actually solving 98% of all the Web3 problems, to be honest, right? Because if you could store your key, you also had secure storage. If you could store your key, you also had a wallet. If you could store your key, you also had... So this is sort of a very narrow thing that just opens up the potential for everything in the Web3 space. So I definitely think that this is key to whatever you want to do in the Web3 space. If you want to solve something, you should start looking at the key. And once you're done with having a good, scalable, sound solution for your key, I have some more thoughts that I want to put into this, but I also want to patent some of these ideas. So we're trying to sort of move ourselves into a place where this is true. So yes, I agree to it.
Perfect. Thanks for the added context. You've maybe moved me over to a question that came up around what does this mean around an MPC pattern. To make it easier, I'll share that link as well. But please, yes. Maybe build on that, and I'll share the link in the community.
Yeah, we are patenting some of the things that we've built for Partition Blockchain, and some of the current pattern that has been disclosed by the patent authorities. There's a pattern that is extending what you know as the second layer, MPC as a second layer, where we can run in a way where it's seamlessly available on Ethereum, but yet we are running the MPC on Partition. And this is, to a large extent, just an extension of this pattern. And the point about patents is that if you actually want to protect the IP, you have to patent it before you implement it. So we can't put it into the code before it has been patented.
And that feeds into, I guess, the interoperability component we were speaking about, and Matt from Crypto Factor mentioned earlier, which is key to, well, our vision and view, but also what's needed in the space. It's so fragmented and messy right now. We do have Lex from Scepter up here, but before we go to you, Manny, please, over to yourself. Thanks for joining.
Hi, Yusuf. Can you hear me properly?
We can indeed. You've solved the puzzle of X. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you very much, team, for the update. I won't go too much into anything. I think it's been a good space, but I just would like to know if I can get commitment from the team. Could we possibly please start hosting just a community call every 2 weeks in the Discord? I think it's been quite a long time since the last community and call was done. It doesn't have to be pure professional. It can just be a hangout, just so the community feels more aligned with the team. And even if they get small updates or even discuss ideas, I really do think the project has got different people from different skill sets. And I think if we can start to build those community holders in with the team, and maybe where they can input and help the team, it would be more beneficial to Partition growing and also to align alongside the vision. And my second question is the team planning to go to ETHCC or Paris Blockchain Week to start, debating and stuff with other blockchains? I would really like to know if that's some of the plans. And also, I don't know if I heard it properly there, but I thought you were going to give us a proper update on what God's Network was going to do. I kind of missed that.
There were three things there. I'll
I'll jump into some as an opener, then just pass it over to the team. Commitment from the team around a call every 2 weeks. We'll definitely have more regular calls. 2 weeks sounds reasonable, and having hangouts makes sense. I think the format that we've done today, where we're giving a more structured update as well as opening up the floor for questions, is important. So I've already discussed that with the team internally, and we'll definitely be doing that more regularly. I'm open to hangouts and building on that around the skill set from the community. Absolutely. I mean, again, conversations internally has been had around this, and something I mentioned earlier about organically bringing the community together, but not in a way that is one, too structured, but also too laser focused on just one thing. I think there are different pillars and ways that people can contribute, whether, like I say, it's content, it's opening up a network, it's coming up with suggestions and ideas, it's development, whatever it may be. That's where I want to see the ambassador program going in the future, and people being rewarded the right way for their efforts. And it coming from an organic place where we can build that together makes a ton of sense. So yes, on a commitment to more regular comms and spaces like this, or just hangouts, and yes to getting people more involved in contributing to the ecosystem, which we've started doing informally for now, but we want to formalize some of that for scalability. The other points were around gods, and then is the team planning to go to ECC? Broadly, we do attend events. We do speak with projects at these events. We travel to places, well, globally, really, where we see there being value to be had. I think a conversation comes from where we can get speaker slots, either organically. I wouldn't say paid at the moment. That's not where I'd spend my time. I don't think it's worth it. But if we can get speaker slots organically, or where we can bring our expertise in, yeah, absolutely, we should be doing that. Specifics around ECC or Paris Blockchain Week or any other event, there are tons of them out there. I've not confirmed on. And then God's Network, it was just in response to a question that no further updates from what's already publicly available. So that one's an easy one to answer. I don't know if anyone else wants to jump in on those questions. I think I've covered them fairly well, but maybe on the debates in other blockchains. I don't know if someone from the team wants to jump in on that, maybe Peter.
Then you need to repeat it. I only heard burr on the topic of burr.
That is not good. Okay. That could be the way I'm speaking. It could also be technical issues. Is the team planning to go to ECC or Paris Blockchain Week to debate with other blockchains? I think the key thing is, how do we get ourselves more awareness here? And correct me if I'm wrong, Manny. How do we get more awareness?
I think you actually answered it.
How do we get on the stage around
you? Yeah, I think actually you answered it. You said we are trying to find place. So it would be nice to go to Paris. It would be nice to debate other blockchain teams. It wouldn't be nice just to go to Paris Blockchain. And as you said yourself, we need speaking engagement. We need to be visible there. We need to. There needs to be some reason for us to go there. We don't want to just travel to Paris Blockchain Week to see other people talk. We want a better stage. And I know some of the places where you have been in Dubai and some of the places we've been in Hong Kong has given us more access and more reach. Let me point back to the network. If you have someone who can give us the right setting, it would be interesting.
And in fact, that ties in quite nicely into the contribution topic that we've had here. Thanks, Manny. Cool. So a couple of other questions. Was there anything else from yourself, firstly, Manny? And then I'll go into a few more questions that have been pre-submitted.
No, just one other question. I know Concordium is right beside you, Peter. Like, is there a partnership possibility?
Because in the same city. They're in the same city. They've moved away. Yeah. I don't know where they are at the moment.
Is a relationship between you two not kind of synergies would be quite good for maybe, I think, do you not know the founder? Maybe try to tie them into offering what Patrizia offers for them. Would that not be a good partnership if you can get them to join you?
I can confirm the latter sentence. The latter sentence I'll be happy to confirm. The rest of it, I would be cautious about confirming right away. But if we can find a way to collaborate around the things that we're doing and what they are, it would definitely be interesting. And options has been explored in the past. Whether or not we can find shared traction is an open question. So, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thanks.
Perfect, thanks. And
that's me. You can get somebody else up, Yusuf. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, Manny, and thanks for the support you've been doing behind the scenes as well. I don't want that to go unnoticed. You also did me a favour there. That was a question from Cryptid, so I don't know if he nudged you, but the Concordium question came from Cryptid as well, so I hope that's answered as well as we can for yourself. In fact, I won't go to other questions. Lex, welcome, and you've launched this week Scepter, so please, if you have any comments, I know you wanted to jump in there and give your thoughts. The floor is open.
Thank you, Yusuf. We did launch, I guess, officially on Monday. It's currently a community launch, so we haven't done like all the marketing that we will do in the future yet. But it gives the community a first chance to look at the liquid staking platform, and of course, give us feedback on things that they would like to see there. And I think we are, of course, we are monitoring what's going on. We expect that staking won't initially happen too much, mostly because I assume that a lot of the people in the community have their MPC staked already. So it needs to unstake, obviously, first before you can liquid stake it. We are definitely happy if anyone has any like feedback on the app, like how it functions, what kind of data they would love to see, or of course you can also just say like love that you have this or this information there. And we are in the works of getting a liquidity pool up on the DEX for SMPC, MPC. And I guess that's where everything takes off. So yeah, and I'll be happy to answer any questions anyone has about liquid staking or Scepter liquid staking in particular.
Perfect. So I'll let people raise hands. Thanks, Lex. The best place really to give that feedback outside of this forum is in Telegram or Discord. Scepter has a channel which we've got pinned in our Telegram, and you can see, or you can ask it directly in our Telegram and tag Lex or Joel from the Scepter team. But using that, giving feedback, they're super, super active. You can see it with other partners they've worked with in their channel. So please give that feedback and we can work on it. Cool. Perfect. Thanks, Lex. If anyone has questions, of course, just raise your hand and we can address them here. And if not, it can be in our community channels. I am going to go back to not throwing softballs. Another question that was pre-submitted was, will there be a public audit of Patizia blockchain? And I'm very well and truly aware of who should answer this, and Peter, it's on you on this occasion.
I think this is just an excerpt of some of the things that we're talking together with the community group, and I kind of want to take it up in that group rather than, I think it's unfair to have a conversation. Take a conversation and rip it out of context and putting it in here without being able to provide the proper context. So I think I'll leave it at that.
Okay. So as the Peter Whisperer, we've been doing some work behind this already, and there's a cohort of people that we're discussing, and there's a process around this. Some considerations just to be aware of. As I know some people have suggested it's quite a simple endeavor, but we need to make sure that sensitive data and third-party data and information is respected, and the results are meaningful and responsibly disclosed, just as a high level. There's of course more nuance to that, but I wanted to address it, so at least we know there's some conversation around that at leadership level.
That's a conversation. What you were asked about was the public audit, and that's a very specific topic that I assume.
I think you've cut out, at least for myself. So I'll move over to I'll move over to one of the other questions that's been asked. What are the key deliverables or milestones for Q1, Q2, 2026? I think a lot of that's probably been answered within this conversation, but Matthias, maybe one for you in terms of technical roadmap. If X is still live, it feels like I'm speaking to myself.
No, I can still hear you.
It is. Okay. I am speaking to myself. sorry, Peter, I don't know if you've got your connection sorted. It was around priorities Q1, Q2, 2026. Maybe Matthias, if you can hear.
I think priorities Q2, Q1, Q2 is the repositioning that you are spearheading right now, that needs to be landed and well received and understood and then communicated. If we can do that, then we're good for the highest and biggest priority. And then there's a lot of as part of that, and that's also going to be, those are sort of footnotes to the larger picture.
There was a slight break, so repositioning, which I'll be responsible for, is a key part of what we need to get right, and there are some technical components. Matthias seems to have dropped, but there are some technical components on the roadmap, some of which we've touched on during this call, and the rest, there will be an article or some documentation published around the roadmap and status and reasons for doing some of the work we're doing. So that will be available when I get a moment to get around to that. A lot of it's been written up already and we've had the conversation internally. So hopefully that can answer that question when it's published. There are a few other questions, but I think most of them have been answered. The only couple that I think would be relevant now, when will arithmetic MPC be delivered? I definitely know that's not a softball for Peter, and it's something that's important, but this is all around prioritization. If we can't hear Peter, but over to you if we can.
Did you ask me?
You're on mute. The work around arithmetic MPC, the delivery there. I know there's some nuance around it.
What we're focusing on in the technical roadmap is to empower the adoption efforts as much as possible. And makes it a lot easier and a lot better to run effectively machine learning algorithms, but that is not what has been requested by the community. Mostly it is about extending the execution engine and professionalizing its capabilities, and that's what we are focusing on right now in the technical roadmap. The arithmetic wheel is on in final stages, so it will be released, but I don't have the promises that I can give right here next to me.
Got it, thanks. So, a lot of that really hinges on priorities and where we see there being value add around adoption, particularly as we've discussed in this call around digital identity, execution logic, and a few other higher importance items. So that's the high level on that response. Any updates around centralized exchanges? No, is the short answer. There's lots of nuance in that, and for many reasons, a lot of the other fundamental work that we're doing that's been highlighted in this call is a priority in any case. Of course, when exchanges want to list us as they see the value, then fantastic. But the short answer is no, there aren't any updates. I think they were the key questions. I'm also very conscious that we've run over and there's some hard stops here from the team. So please, if there are any other thoughts, comments from the team, great. And if there are any other questions, please just raise your hand for anyone who's still tuned in. And if not, then we'll wrap up. Okay. Silence has told me enough. So thanks a lot for everyone who's tuned in. Thanks a lot for everyone who has pre-submitted questions. Really appreciate all of the efforts from everyone involved in the ecosystem, whether that's the builders, a lot of whom are present on this call, and or whether it's others in the community, as we've highlighted in this call today. We want to keep building on these efforts. And actually, we're at a really interesting point where the product and protocol has been developed to a point where we understand a lot more around who wants what in the market. A lot of the builders have launched or started to launch. So we're getting a lot more activity around what can be done and use cases and utilities within the ecosystem. And it seems as though we've reached a much more positive place in terms of community and support and involvement really across the board. So thanks a lot for all of the efforts. Thanks a lot for tuning in. And please be active in the community, ask us questions, give us feedback, make comments. This is all about building together. And the more involved everyone is, the more we can respond to those questions, queries, thoughts, to support really the direction that we all want to go in to bring privacy and digital trust to the world. So thanks a lot. We'll be sharing links around our partners in the respective communities on Telegram and Discord. Encourage you guys to follow those that have been present as guests on the space today, and have a great rest of the day. Thanks a lot. Take care.